Okay. Erev Tov. Tonight we're going to discuss in our shiur on Sugyot of the Maor Nevuchim, Sugyot and Machshava, we're going to discuss, take advantage of a key critical discussion in the world of the Rambam's worldview, Maimonidean philosophy and his thought, and it also ties in very nicely to this week's Parsha. It's a well-known debate and discussion, but I thought we would take some time and try and delve deep into it. There's a few famous Rambams that have to do with this week's Parsha. Maybe we'll do the other major sugya that we mentioned in our Hakdama Shir next week. But tonight we're going to discuss the Rambam's views on the role of angels and a little bit tie into the Rambam's view on Nevuah and figure out what exactly is going on, in particular at the beginning of this week's Parsha, that also has ramifications in really the entire Tanakh as a whole. But particularly this week's Parsha in Vayera, as well as the story with Yaakov Avinu and Sarah Shel Esav, those are really the two famous ones, as well as with Bilam and the Aton and the Chamor. There's a lot of really classic areas where this Ramban debate comes out, but this is really the starting point for it all, and it is a lot of fun. The debate as a whole is something we could spend days talking about. Whether it's from a Machshava standpoint, whether it's from a philosophical standpoint, or whether it's from a Tanakh standpoint, there's a lot. If we were shifting, instead of the gear being a philosophical shear, if we were to have shifted and said this is going to be a Parsha de Shavua shear, we'd spend a lot more time getting into the details of how we read Psukim and what exactly it is that's going on. But because we're trying to focus more on Sugyas and Machshava, we're not going to really go through. I didn't bring a Tanakh. I was debating it and decided, no, the purpose of Shir is not to get bogged down on how we are going to read the different opinions back into the Psukim. What are the questions that come up on each opinion? But really to see the Makor inside and understand the overall opinion. So we know that this week's Parsha opens off with Vayisainav, Vayira, Vihine, Shlosha Anashim Nitzavim Elav, Vayara Tzikratam, Avram Avinu is sitting at the entrance to his tent, as we said in the previous pasuk, right? And Avram is sitting there, and the pasuk tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seen to Avram Avinu as he's in Elonei Mamre, and then the next pasuk says that all of a sudden Avram lifted up his eyes and he saw that there were three people standing alav next to him. Let's say. Vayaratz the kratam, and he got up and he ran towards them from the entrance of his tent, and when he got to them, he bowed down. And a lot of questions are brought up specifically around these psukim, and that's going to be, why is this, what exactly is happening, what's going on? In Pasuk Aleph, we said Avram Avinu is sitting and having a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has revealed himself to Avram, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has yet to say anything. But once he's revealed himself, the next pasuk later, all of a sudden, Avram sees three people standing next to him, or near him, and then he gets up and runs to them. So the general questions that are asked that come up are, without really getting too deep into the Parshanut HaMikra here, is, why is it, first off, if they were Nitzavim Alav, they're standing next to him, right? If you're standing right there, you're so close to me. If I wanted to go talk to you, I wouldn't get up and start running towards you and bow down to you. You're already right here. So what is this balance? Where's the dichotomy between Nitzavim Alav and Vayiratz Alav? And also, in Pasuk Aleph, I forgot to bring it on the Makor sheets, to be honest, but in Pasuk Aleph, Avraham Avinu starts this conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then all of a sudden he leaves, right? If you're having a conversation with your friend, you wouldn't run out in the middle of the conversation without saying anything to go talk to another friend who just showed up from nowhere. Let alone if you were talking to one of your Rebbeim teachers or parents. Kal v'chomer, if you're having a conversation one-on-one with the Rabbeinu Shlomo Melech Malchei Hamlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting here showing himself, revealing himself to you, you're having a conversation, you wouldn't just get up and start, oh, I see three guys. And it's not even three people I know, it's three strangers whom I've never met. It sounds a little bit crazy. All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has literally showed himself to you. Now you're going to get up and run to go talk to some strangers. There's a lot of questions that are going on here. If you go through the entire perek, how it connects to both the previous and following perakim also. And that's really the start of this week's parsha. The other one it's really going to kick up is, in Sefer Bereishit famously discussed, is the story with Yaakov and Sarah Shel Esav. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. Sorry, this is not the Sarah Shel Esav, this is also with Esav, before he goes to meet Esav. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, he sends Malachim to Esav, and that's going to be a discussion of who exactly are these Malachim. In both cases, we have some sort of discussion of what's going on. So, as well as when we're dealing with Sarosh Esav, we'll see what the Ramban, what exactly happened there? Was there actually a wrestling match? Was there not a wrestling match? What's going on? Where really do we hold? What are different opinions that are going to come out when we want to understand, well, are angels real? What are Malachim? What's going on? Maybe they were humans. Maybe they were fake. Maybe it was just a dream, right? Maybe it was a prophet, right? Who knows? Maybe, you know, the Avos were on, like, psychedelic mushrooms and it's all fine, right? There's going to be a lot of different... I didn't see anyone that says that, but I'm sure in some, you know, postmodern, you know, hip-hop type of commentary on the Torah, I'm sure someone suggested it. That wouldn't surprise me. So, let's move forward. The Medrash on this week's Parsha tells us at the very beginning, right... Vayarat the Kratam, who did Avram go to run towards, right? We didn't necessarily say Vira Shoshanashim, we saw three people. The Midrash tells us already that these were Malachim, El Hamalachim. These were angels. And then Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Shematzinu, Shemalachim Nikrim Anashim. And we see, the Midrash tells us, these are their names. It was Michael, it was Gabriel, it was Raphael. And we know the Midrash says there's cases all over where we use the word Malachim, Anashim interchangeably. But here it was. These are angels. These are the three angels. There's some debates in different Midrashim which three angels it explicitly was. And then the Gemara in Bava Metzia really has a long discussion on this sugya specifically, and Daf Pei Vav Amud Bet. And it just also I didn't bring you the whole Gemara, but specifically the line here that what were they coming for? Why were there these three malachim? Ma ninu shlosha anashim. Who were these three people? Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. It's the same opinion as this Midrash. Michael Shebal Vasara Sarah, right? Michael was coming to tell us, Sarah, you're going to get pregnant. Baruch Hashem, you've waited so long to have a child. Your time has come. In a year from now, you're going to have your own child. And then that goes to the whole story of Itatzachak Sarah. Sarah laughed at the whole story, etc. The white lie, how did the Malachim change what Sarah said to tell Avram, etc. The back and forth there. Okay? Raphael Shebal Rapet Avram, right? This was right after the end of last week's Parsha. We saw that Avram Avinu had his Brit Milah. He was circumcised at, you know, a very young age of not 8 days. So it was very painful for him. So Raphael came to say, you know, I'm here to help you, you know, feel better. I'm here to come provide some emotional medical support to help you get through this difficult process. And Gabriel, Azel, Mapacha, Lisdom. And Gabriel came in particular to tell us that what's going to happen in Stone, etc. So now that's a little bit of background. We're going to try and now discuss, we're going to first open off with really, the Rambam, you know, as the Shirim are, we use the Rambam as a springboard for Mor Nevuchim to understand different Sugyot and Machshavah. So we're going to start, in particular, more with the Rambam side. To do that, I want to first take a look at Bamidbar Perek Yud Bet. In Perek Yud Bet, we have the famous story that I'm sure many of you have heard of before, where Moshe announces that, you know, he's going to remove himself, he's going to separate himself from his wife, live a life of precious from his wife. And Miriam and Aaron are kind of thinking amongst themselves, unlike the Christians, we don't believe in a life of celibacy, right? We believe in having children. We believe in shalom bayit and marital relations. This is a normal thing. Why are you removing yourself from your wife? And they have, we'll call it the holy chutzpah, or they're being, you know, responsible older siblings who care about their little brother, and they think he's made a mistake. So they do what all older siblings go, and they say, hey, little brother, I think you might have, you know, overthought this one. I don't think what you're doing is right. And so they go forward, and they talk to Moshe, and they say, I don't think this is right. And then Moshe, he was very anav, he was very humble, and Hashem comes out all of a sudden, and he says, Moshe... Right, Moshe v'Aaron v'Miriam, I spoke to them. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, hey, you three wonderful siblings, all of whom are incredible leaders of the Jewish people, go to the Olam Moed, go to the Mishkan. And when they get there, v'Yirid Hashem v'Amud Anan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down in the cloud, v'Amud Petach Ol v'Yikra Aaron v'Miriam v'Yitzu Shneim. Right, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down, and then v'Yomer Shimuna Divrei Im Yen V'Yem Hashem v'Mareh. Okay, right, they come to the Ohel Moed. They're standing at the entrance to the tent. And all of a sudden, we now have a case. The three, Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam are at the Ohel Moed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down. And all of a sudden, Aaron and Moshe, sorry, Aaron and Miriam, excuse me, are confused. They're overcome by seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Moshe, Rashi explains they needed water. They were kind of overtaken completely from this incredibly overwhelming nevuah of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds and says, see, for you guys, this is overwhelming. You're used to seeing me in a mareh, in a vision. Whereas in Moshe, I talk to Moshe peh peh, right? Peh peh adaber bo, umareh, right? I talk to him face to face. We speak to each other mouth to mouth. I don't send him riddles. I don't send him dreams. I don't send him conflicting messages. We talk directly. And from here, we see that the Moshe Rabbeinu had an inherently different level of nevuah than anyone else. So much so, the Rambam lists this as one of his Yidi Gimli Karim, is that nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu emet, v'torato emet, and we see that there's also, I forget what the exact lesson of the other one is, that right, everything Moshe said as nevuah was true, and that there were plenty of Nevi'im, but there were no other Nevi'im who even came close to Moshe Rabbeinu's stature. That's in the Yud Gimli Karim that the Rambam says, if you don't believe in that, you're considered a heretic, you're a kofer. The Rambam then tells the Gemara, before we get to the Rambam, the Gemara in Yevamot on Memtanam Abet tells us, Ve'irat Hashem, on this Pasuk, Kedetanya, the Braita tells us, Kol HaNevi'im Nistaklu Basmaklaria She'ena Mi'ira, Moshe Rabbeinu Nistakel Basmaklaria Mi'ira. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a clear glass, just like this beautiful fish tank that I'm standing in. It's clear, we can see straight through it. Whereas in any other Navi, those, unlike Moshe Rabbeinu, it was not so clear. It was like, you know, when you're on one of those buses and there's bulletproof glass. I guess you guys don't know what a bus is because you haven't left Modi'in. But buses are these big, you know, these vehicles that carry around, you know, 54 people. And sometimes they're reinforced with bulletproof glass for safety. Bulletproof glass is very, very thick. And when you look through it, it's kind of hard to see the other side because of how thick it is. It makes the vision a little bit blurry. And it's not so clear to see straight through. So the Gemara tells us Moshe saw Nevuah, he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly through a clear piece of glass. Whereas in every other Navi, he saw some sort of foggy, mitushtash, blurry Nevuah. The Rabbeinu Hananel is brought down in the Ramban here, explains this and says, all the Nevi'im, when they came to this, what they saw was not so clear. They were like an old man who was seeing things. But when you're elderly, you know, Rabbeinu Hananel, I guess, knew this. I haven't gotten there yet. But when you get older, your vision starts to go. Things get blurrier and are not so clear. And this is something that he says, that's what all the other Nevi'im were. They didn't see things directly. They saw things in a dilapidated, kind of blurry manner. And they saw things it was a grand, lofty, incredible vision, they saw things in a very low manner because they were not able to see it right away. But this is not true when it comes to Moshe, because it says that Moshe was able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'ho da Shekhinah. He's able to see the glory and the splendor of the Shekhinah directly. And this was something that Moshe was able to do that no one else did. And that was really how Rabbeinu Hananel explains this Gemara. The Rambam takes this Gemara and these psukim from Bamidbar Perek Yudbet, and he brings it down halacha l'maisa. In Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam tells us in Perek Zayin halacha vav, Kol advarim shamim haderach nevuah lekol hanevi'im harishonim v'achronim chutz b'Moshe Rabbeinu Rabban shel kol hanevi'im. Right, when we talk about nevuah, that applies to every other navi in the history of Klal Yisrael, and also in the world of non-Jews, as we'll get to in a little bit regarding Bilam, maybe. Okay, except for Moshe, who was the grand master. He was the Rebbe for all other nevi'im. Moshe was the go. You know, he was the greatest of all nevi'im. He was the go-to navi. Right? And when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay? And there was an inherent difference, the Rambam tells us, between Moshe and the other Nevi'im. For all the Nevi'im, they only spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a dream or in a vision. Whereas in Moshe, he was able to have prophecy and to have Nevuah and to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu kasher hu er, when he's awake, and ve'omed, when he stands, as the Pasuk tells us. Right? All the Nevi'im, they heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Malachim. But with Moshe, that wasn't true. Right? All the Malachim were through parables, through chidot, through different tricks and riddles, but with Moshe, there was no malach, it was pal peh, as we said in Bamidbar Perek Yudbet. Okay, and that's why the Pasuk tells us, panim panim, and it says that he brings more psukim and proves this, that there's an inherent difference between the nevuah of Moshe, which was a face to face conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and every other Navi in the history of Klal Yisrael and the entire world, which was on a lower level. There is a qualitative difference between the prophecy of Moshe and everyone else. And now we get into the Rambam in his Mor Nevuchim, where he discusses this at length in Perek in Chelek Bet, Mor Nevuchim Chelek Bet, in Perek Mem Bet. And there he really discusses this idea as he's dealing with in different areas over here in this area of the Mor Nevuchim about some of his treaty on the world of prophecy and Nevuah. And here he discusses, he starts off discussing our Parsha at the beginning of Vayera, what's going on with Avram Avinu and the Shlosha Anashim, Shenitzavim Alav, that showed up. Who are these people? What's going on? I don't really get it. Something here is seemingly very odd. And the Rambam tells us, we've already discussed previously in other places the roles of angels and how they work, but he says that this entire story, the concept of angels showing up and talking to us, engaging with us, it can only have been in a dream. It could only have been in a vision. There's no way that angels just showed up and started at your tent and just started talking to you. Like, that's just not how life works. Right? I don't know about you, but I've never had angels show up at my front door and be like, hey, do you have some tongue? Do you have some fresh-made bread? Do you have any milk or cream? I don't know. That stuff doesn't really happen. Okay, and so he says, I'm going to explain this a little more. Kamoshika, okay? He says, we have to explain what's going on with these malachim. So he starts off by really saying that whenever we deal with malachim in the entire Torah, it's dealing with a vision, it's a dream, it's not real. It can't be true. Okay? Teda v'tetamet shemitchilat ha'inyanu haya mar'eh nevuah o cholam shel nevuah. From the very beginning, the truth is that this entire story is a nevuah. It's a dream. Right at the beginning, the Navi is himself in a dream, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to him and reveals himself. And sometimes it's that you'll hear him. Sometimes it's you won't even hear, you won't see him, but in your dream you'll hear a voice. Right. So there's differences. There's some dreams where you see the Malach and you hear him. Somewhere you just hear him. Somewhere you'll see them but don't hear him. And some where you'll only recognize after the fact, oh wait, that was a malach, right? That you don't recognize in the moment of the vision that it was a malach, but after the fact you do. And then he continues and he says, this is really one of the ikarim that whenever we're dealing with here, it's all from a vision, it's a dream. And he says, this is based on the Medrash from Rabbi Chiya HaGadol, the great Rabbi Chiya in the Medrash, as he says, Vayira Elav B'Hashem B'Elonim Amrei, quoting our Baza, Ki Kasher Hikidim Klal V'Hu Hashem Shenira Elav, Hitchil V'Ere Echaita Tzurat HaRoe Ha'u, V'Amar Shetchil HaRa'a Shosha Anashim V'Ratza Amar Ma'amar Elohim, V'Amar Zeh Asher Piresh Zeh Piresh Ma'amar Avram Vayomer Adoni Im Na Matzah Dichem Be'enecha Al Na Tavor Mikol Avdecha Shu Gam Ken Tzafur. Right? The entire story from the very beginning when he starts talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was the start of his Nevuah, and the rest of the story following our Pasuk Aleph, he starts talking and conversing with Hashem, and then carrying all the way through, we see that that Avram Avinu is in a dream, he's having a vision, and that is what we are discussing. Okay, and then he continues, and he says, the same thing is going to be true, right? This is the deep secret that's going to be true with Yaakov Avinu Vayavak Ishimo when he's wrestling with Saro Shel Esav. And he says that entire thing is not true. That entire story, it's a story, it's a vision, it's a nevuah. And he says, right? Asher ekdim sipur klali vayira elav Hashem achar ken hitchil v'er. Okay? And he says, vayivgu bo malach Elohim, and that when the malachim came to him, achar kach hitchil v'erich karad shepagu. Right? Then we get the whole story. And then he brings plenty of other cases, whether it's with Bilam and the donkey, and all throughout Tanakh, and all throughout, you know, he brings it from Pinchas, etc., from Daniel. He really is discussing a lot of different examples and cases where this all seems to be it's all a vision, it's all a dream. And he says, you know, it can't be that, you know, he ran away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of a conversation and he left him to then go and talk to these strangers. And we know that malachim don't actually eat food. So it's not going to be that he now prepared for them all of this, you know, this food. I brought here the Abarbanel. As we've quoted before, the Abarbanel wrote a long perush where he really defends the Rambam in his Mor Nevuchim against some of his attackers and those who really wanted to, who disagreed with him. And the Abarbanel, he brings, you know, question after question, as the Abarbanel often does. They say that the joke is that, you know, if you want to go off the derech and learn the Abarbanel Shabbos afternoon, you open up the Sefer after lunch or after dinner, And he opens up every parsha with 20, 25 questions. You fall asleep in the middle. You wake up. You've got all these questions on the parsha. You don't have any answers. That's kind of the Abarbanel. Very, very long, very comprehensive. You know, he really goes through in a very yesodi, fundamental, detail-oriented, and asks lots of questions. And then he kind of comes through with an answer. So he does a similar thing when it comes to his commentary on the Moreh Nevuchim. And he opens off by bringing the Medrash regarding Rav Chiya, as the Rambam himself did. And he says that it seems to be that, you know, it doesn't make sense that he would leave in the middle of his Nevuah. Okay? And so it must be that that the Nevuah continued. It didn't be that he left in the middle talking to Hashem. Rather, he said, Vayirai lev Hashem and Belonim Mamre. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said anything. Words of Hashem never happened. It's just that he showed up. He was talking. So it must be that what happened is Hashem showed up, he kind of opened the channel of Nevuah, and then the whole story with the Malachim happened. Right? That's the Medrash from Rabbi Chiya. And then he continues and he brings, you know, some of the questions that are asked, and we'll see some of it in the Rambam. And he says, right, HaKushya Shnia, the second question that's on the Rambam. Amar v'hineh dvara losha Sarah ugot. Right, Sarah never made bread. And Avram Avinu never went and he had the... You know, he made for them the tongue from the young calves. And Sarah never actually laughed. The entire thing was from a Nevuah. And as a result, the Abarbanel says, I don't get it. Then why on earth do we have so many details in the dream? Right? If the whole purpose is that we're going to get these three things that we brought down from the Gemara and Bava Metzia at the beginning, that, you know, one's to tell us you're going to have a baby, and one's going to be to help Avram Avinu Raphael to get better, and one, two, just tell us about the destruction of stone, then why do we, and all that's a Nevuah, why do we have all of these details about the baking bread, and about the Shechita, and the cooking, and all of these details, and how Avram's bowing down, and having the Malachim wash their feet, right? So the Abarbanel says, he quotes the Gemara in Brachos, on Daphne and Heyam and Aleph, where the Gemara discusses there, and all the sugyos about dreams, the Gemara tells us in Brachos and in Heyam and Aleph, that what's going on is, there's no such thing as a dream that's 100% true. Every dream has some sort of fallacy, some sort of inaccuracy in it. That's just how dreams work. You can't have a dream that's 100%. That's just not possible. So it says, we gave you all of these random just little tidbits of information, these nice little things that you can see, in order so that you can, you know, that's just how dreams are. There's always extra information, and part of having to be a Navi is you have to kind of sift through it. You have to work at, to pick at the fundamental and the Yisodi and important works. You know, you can't just, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to just spoon feed you of the Nevuah, but part of being a Navi is tapping into to understand the deeper levels of what exactly we're discussing. On another note, we could say, one of the questions, I forget who asks it, I didn't bring it on the Makoro sheets to the best of my knowledge, is how could the Rambam be saying this? We learn out from this story with the Rambam, with Avram, is all of these mitzvot of Hachnasot Orchim had to be about Chesed. Avram Yish Chesed, right? Avram was all about charity and helping other people. We learn the mitzvah of Hachnasot Orchim from Avram Avinu. So you're going to tell me that Avram Avinu, the pinnacle of Chesed, the pinnacle of Hachnasot Orchim, and he didn't even, this never happened? It's all a dream? Avram was so good about Hachnasot Orchim, he even dreamed about it. That sounds crazy. So I would argue that even if we're going to accept the Rambam's opinion, maybe the reason why the Torah gave us all of these little details is that even though maybe it didn't happen according to the way the Rambam would explain it, there's still significant information for us to learn from the Maisa Avot Siman Labanim. We're supposed to learn from our forefathers. And the Torah is not just a rule book. It's not a Sefer Halacha. It's not a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Torah is supposed to be a guidebook for how we live our lives. And even if the story didn't really happen, we still have what to learn. We can still appreciate and glean pearls of wisdom from Avram Avinu, from our forefather Avram, on what it means to be a host, what it means to invite people into our home, what it means to care about your guests. That, right, they show up out of nowhere. You don't have food ready for them, so you don't just say, oh, I don't have any food. Here, why don't you sit down? I'll get you some water. Why don't you wash your hands? Why don't you wash your feet? I'll go break for you. My wife will prepare for you some bread. I'll go shecht an animal for you. We'll get you some fresh milk, right? Even maybe if it didn't happen, we still have what to learn, and maybe even though it was just a dream, the Torah records these details, not because it's insignificant and it's just, you know, part of dreams always have, you know, non-true information. It could be also that part of what the Torah is telling us is there's still what for you to learn from, even if it didn't happen. Actually, the Torah is trying to impart us with life lessons and things for us to work on in our midot ben adam l'chavero, in our hachnasas orchim, and in our chesed with all those who are around us, and even those who aren't around us, who just show up out of nowhere looking for maybe a bite to eat and a bed to sleep in. So then the Abarbanel really continues, and he says, You know, what's the whole purpose of all this? And he says that even though it was all a dream, he then brings these ideas from, he brings the psukim in Yechezkel, right, that Rabim Nevuot Yisapru Pertei HaMasim Kasher Himei Beket, right, the Torah tells us all the details because that's what happened really in the dream. As in, the Torah is not just going to tell you, oh, in the dream, it is this little, you know, this is the ikar of it. The Torah is not giving you a kitzer chalomos. It's giving you a shorthand version of the dream. No, this is how Avram saw the dream, so the Torah is going to record that. That's just how it works. Gamu tzorech so sipura dvarim hem b'mareh has to tell us what actually happened in the story. Im lo chiecha tzachok, is that right? It's trying to teach us what exactly is going on, how are we learning about it, what's happening, etc. And what led to the background to the whole story. The dream is all teaching us such important things. Okay? And then, he then quotes, skipping down a little bit, HaKushya Shishi, the sixth Kushya that's on the Rambam, is going to be, V'im Yaleh Lot L'mal Marei Nevuah. You're going to tell me that this whole thing was a dream. The angels don't, right? There's no such thing as angels, right? So, what happens when the Malachim get the stone? Lod. And Anshei Sdom, they see the angels. You want to honestly tell me, Avram Avinu. So Avram Avinu couldn't see angels. He saw them in a dream. So it was all a dream. A Navi could see that in the dream. Lot was a Navi. Anshei Sdom were Neviim. Look at what horrible level, how far down the community, you know, what happened, the entire city was going to be destroyed. How could you tell me that Lot was going to be a Navi? So there's a lot of different answers brought to that. One was that really, Lot was actually a tzaddik maybe before, I forget who says this, Lot before he split from Avram was a tzaddik. They used to learn together, they had good midah together, they had, you know, Lot really was a good person. And when he went to Sodom, Oy la Russia, Oy la Shcheino. And now, what's going to happen is, Lot was really a tzaddik. He went to Sodom, these bad people influenced him negatively. But really, he himself had this chos of nevuah. Right? That's one opinion. Another opinion is that it was part of the Rachamim. He was only saved because of Avram Avinu. Okay? So the Abarbanel now says, I don't understand how that could be, that they're all going to be Nevuah. All the people are Nevi'im. These are horrible people in Sodom. And what about the fact that, you know, that everyone came to his house? And what about those that, you know, he sent out his daughters and, you know, there were really horrible things that were going on here. And he says, okay, he says here that the answer to this question that he brings is Malach Shnir LaManoach, right? He asks again also on Manoach, and he basically says, and this is also brought down on the Rambam, is that maybe parts of it wasn't actually Nevuah for Lot and for Manoach. This is also brought down on the Rambam directly in the Moreh, that we say it's not just that it was all Nevuah, really Lot wasn't a Navi, this is the answer that the Rambam brings, but that it was a bat kol. There's inherent differences, as we said, we'll see in a little bit, there's differences between the forms and levels of Nevuah. There's higher levels and there's lower levels of Nevuah. As he said, Moshe Rabbeinu is on a different playing field of Nevuah than every other prophet. So to hear, there's different levels of Nevuah. And Lot and Manoach, okay, and Eshet Manoach and Anshei Sdom, they didn't have Nevuah. They didn't have a dream where they saw angels and they saw prophets and they saw all these celestial beings and they understood the messages. It was a bat kol. There was a voice that came down from heaven and said, hey, Lot, your city's going to be destroyed. Get out of here. So he didn't get to tap into the Kedusha as Avram did, but he did hear something. That's definitely one opinion. That's okay. And then he continues, right, and he says, I don't want to read here. There was a, right, he really just continues for a very, very long time, the Abarbanel. You could read it all inside if you want. I brought it on the Makor sheet. He's coming on time and time again, basically explaining some of the questions that are coming up with what's going on with the Rambam. And he's trying to defend him against the Ramban's attacks that we'll see shortly. Okay? Right, and he says that it's based on Divrei Chazal, that right at the very end that I brought here. Amnam ma'u emet kifish zot ha-parsha ra'ita alonim amrei ha'im ha'itza b'marei nevuah ki Divrei ha-Rambam b'keitza b'pol kimo Divrei ha-Ramban. Is it really in a dream like the Rambam? Or was it actually happening like the Ramban holds? Ro'e ani dat chachamim, I see based on Chazal, shua emet kifi pasha, Rabbeinu zechoronim levracha, shayu advarim kolim ve'ketzot, like the Ramban maybe. But then he says, michrad ha-ketzuvim ayu amra v'yelech Hashem, kasher kala ledavar al Avraham, v'Avraham shev l'mekomo. Right, he wants to say that maybe a lot of it all really was in a dream. It really didn't all happen, but part of it was a dream coming to teach us stuff. Don't tell me that Lot really saw it. Because we don't see, right, he's defending his idea. Right, Avram says, Vayera Elohim, Elohim Be'olim Amrei, right, Hashem revealed himself to Avram Avinu. But we don't see with Lot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself. We just see this kind of point made of Lot, the Malachim show up in stone. Yeah. That's part of, great, the Ramban asked that question. Okay, fantastic question. As in, one of the many questions is going to be, okay, so it wasn't a nevuah. I mean, if it was a dream, we'd say that it was all a dream, it didn't happen. Maybe a bat kol. What? I don't know. Maybe he had some sort of, you know, some people, they hear voices in their heads. He has an imaginary friend. He hears this voice. Oh, yeah, why don't you come home with me? Then you're going to say, well, what about the, how did all of Sodom also know to show up at his house and try to knock the doors down and the blinding light, etc., that whole story there. There's a lot of questions, a lot that's really not so clear here. But yeah, really you're asking the question that Ramban asked. This is part of really what makes it a very complex and confusing sugya. And unfortunately, as I said, I did not take proper notes to go through the Makoros as I wanted to, as I generally would beforehand. So I really don't have it as, I guess, organized going through, I guess, systematically the questions and answers that I would have liked to kind of maybe make a chart and say, well, this is the Rambam's opinion, this is the Ramban's opinion, what are the questions they ask, and who says what is the answers. I believe I have on my computer someone wrote an article about it. I don't recall. I think I read an article last night at, I don't even remember what time, of someone who really kind of organized the questions and answers a little bit more systematically, but definitely something that you can make a very clear chart of saying, well, what are the questions that I said? If we were to have this as like a Parsha class, we'd sit down, we'd open up a Tanakh, let's read through and try and what fits into the Psukim, right? If we're like kind of, we want to understand, how does this fit, how does that fit? There's questions that could be asked on both sides. So that's something for sure, but your question the Ramban definitely asks. The Mor Nevuchim in Perek Mem Hei, I brought it here, but we're not going to go through it really. He quotes in Perek Mem Hei, the Rambam in Chelik Bet still, he discusses the different levels and types of Nevuah. And he says there's 11 types of nevuah. And he says the first two, I didn't bring the first two on the Makoros sheets, to be honest. The first two are dealing with loftier nevuahs that are maybe based on what we said in Yisrael Torah and the Gemara that we quoted from, you know, Daf Mem Tet from before. We're going to say that is specifically maybe for Moshe Rabbeinu. But then if you look from Darga Gimel until Darga Yud Aleph, until the 11th, it's all dealing with different types of dreams, different types of visions, different things like, you know, hearings and things like that, right? Chazon, chalom, you could just skim through. She'ira'ah, that you saw, okay? She'yishma, that you only heard, davar b'chalom, right? You, whether or not you just heard, whether you saw and heard, whether or not you just saw, these things, the Rambam says, these, he categorized it in kind of what's the highest nevuah you could have versus what is, you know, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel, what is, you know, the lowliest level of nevuah. It should also be noted, I didn't bring it here because it's more for a discussion on Nevuah in general, the Rambam in Mishneh Torah discusses how one can attain Nevuah. What is Nevuah and how is it attainable? And the Rambam Paskins, we'll use the word Paskins because it's in Mishneh Torah, whether or not, you know, all these sugyos at the beginning of Mishneh Torah and Yisrael Torah and Hilchos Deos, etc., are halacha that we're paskining versus, you know, he's just bringing down in a more categorical manner. But the Rambam kind of goes through the derech to get to Nevuah. It's a purely intellectual, you know, we as mere lowly humans, right, as someone, you know, you and I could, according to the Rambam, attain Nevuah by kind of intellectually working on yourself and getting to a point of spiritual and intellectual, we could call it perfection, bringing yourself to a place where you could be zocha to Nevuah. So then once you kind of hit that chain, you've readied yourself to get Nevuah. And the Rambam is talking about it purely from like an academic intellectual pursuit, not like, and you went to the mikveh every day for 40 days and you dive into the kotel and you fasted for 40 days and at night you only drink water and had one slice of bread and, you know, you slept on the floor and like all these sort of different things that could be brought down in some of the mekubalim of different derechai kedusha and precious, etc. The Rambam is not saying that's the way to Nevuah. He's saying the way to Nevuah really is from intellectual pursuit. You know, for any of you that are you know, in the Mensa Club, really brilliant, want to start pursuing what it's like to get Nevuah, you know, maybe you could try it. I've never heard of anyone successfully following the Rambam's steps of getting Nevuah, but, you know, I guess what do you have to lose at this point? But point is, the Rambam really takes a strong view, and this we'll see is really also the opinion of the Radak, Rav David Kimchi, also writes very strongly. Tchila mashe Rabbi Mar eh, right? Achar shenir dam, hu nasayin aver shloshan hashim, right? Avram Avinu, he fell asleep. He took a nap and he was sleeping, and then he saw in his dream three people. Shaya Yoshev, right? He saw they were sitting there. Shekam v'ratzakadam, and b'mareh ha'nevuah shekam v'ratzakadam. He didn't actually get up and run to go talk to them. He's in the middle of talking to Hashem. No, he was having a dream, and in his dream, he got up and spoke to them. And that's why there's this kind of, well, where were they standing? Was he running or not? Sometimes dreams aren't so clear. Were they standing right next to him? Where is he running to go find them, see them from far away? I saw there was one answer that no, they were standing still far away. So it was nitzavim, I'm standing here. But it was far enough away that he would run there. So it was kind of, both are true, to kind of hit that middle balance. But the Radak definitely takes an idea similar to the Rambam, that it's all really dealing with a nevuah. And so too is really the opinion of the Menachem Rakanti, as we quoted who last week also. I'm not going to go through all of the different proofs and ways through the different psukim that he quotes, but goes through a lot of other cases throughout Chazal and Tanakh to prove what are all these cases where we see that really these things were all in nevuahs and didn't really happen. And in many ways, it really revolutionizes and changes the entire derech in which we understand stories in Tanakh and Chazal, all these amazing stories that we heard as kids that, well, according to the Rambam, there was a lot of dreaming. A lot of people slept through Tanakh class and had great nevuahs, right? It wasn't all these, you know, amazing stories that we heard as children. Yeah. So that's part of the, well, we'll see. The Ramban asked that question too. The Ramban challenges the Rambam, says, you're straying so far from Shudal Shemikra. So maybe there's some parakim where that fits in better than others. But now you're going to say that's a klal across all of Tanakh. You literally just took Shudal Shemikra. What is pshat written in the pasuk? Right, you're saying, right, Chazal tells us, right, that a shifcha at Yamsuf had greater nevuah, had such great nevuah. So you're saying, oh, that was all a dream. They slept through Yamsuf, right? They floated across on, like, the lazy river at Six Flags, and they fell asleep. So that's why what was going on. Yeah, that's part of the Ramban's attack. I don't understand. There's no way you could tell me that all these stories with Malachim are b'marei nevuah. You literally just are straying from pshat of Chumash. That's not what's going on. How could you give me these crazy stories when that's not what's going on? Are you familiar with this Ramban? That's twice you've nailed the Ramban's questions. And the Ramban has a long list of more questions, but this is all what's going through. The Ramban's saying, you can't say that. You just took the Tanakh, you put it in the blender, and instead of having this big book of Tanakh, you came out with, you know, with a little bit of juice at the bottom. It's like when you put an orange in a juicer. The amount of juice compared to the size of the orange is nothing. The Rambam, you just destroyed the entire Tanakh. You came out with such a little, you know, you took the pshat of the mikra, what the pshuto shel mikra, the holy words of our Bible, and you basically just said, ah, that was a dream, that didn't really happen, ah, okay. And that's really, really, the Ramban has a real problem with that. We'll see in a little bit, maybe there's a really interesting idea why that would be. So we see very strongly that the Rambam, the Radak, Rikanti, and the Abarbanel in his defending the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim really want to argue that the entire story happened in a dream. It didn't really happen. And then we see on the flip side, and that's exactly where we're going at. Rashi opens off in our story here, and he says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, in Perek Lamed Bet, Malachim Amish. And so too, in Vayera, Rashi says, we're dealing with angels. Don't give me any of these, it was a dream, it was this, no, these are angels. Avram Avinu saw an angel. As crazy as that sounds, I don't know what that means, but he saw an angel. He spoke to an angel. He ran to an angel. He bowed down to an angel. Maybe he even fed an angel and washed his feet. Her feet, I don't know. The angels have genders? Add that to our list of questions. I have no idea. Okay? The Ramban then continues, as you see here, it's a little bit long, in a fascinating and fantastic diatribe against the Rambam. The Ramban al Torah quotes around 40 plus Rambams from Mor Nevuchim. Hopefully this year we'll see a bunch of them. The majority of which he's arguing with the Rambam, but there are some times where the Ramban and the Rambam agree. You know, it's the minority, but it does happen. Yeah.
Does it say Malachim in the text?
It depends. In some cases, yeah. In Vayera, no.
So,
That's the, yeah. We'll see, yeah, that's it. Well, we'll, there's those who say that, like, the whole thing, we're talking about, like, normal people. We'll see, also with Yaakov. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. Derek could very simply mean messengers. Right? That's what we just quoted here, in this Rashi. There's a lot of cases where things are not clear what exactly we're talking about. What's an angel? What's a messenger? What's a human? What's a Navi? What's, you know, some sort of extraterrestrial being? What's, you know, what are aliens? I have no idea. Everything seems kind of crazy here. So the Ramban, in his, you know, diatribe against the Rambam here, opens off and he says, these are three people. Hamalachim. These were the angels that came as they, in the appearance, bidmut anashim. These were angels who showed up as people. Right? Nitzava anashim, right? These were humans. But they weren't humans. They were angels, right? Angels can do what they want. They're like not bound by laws of nature. They could show up as a human being because that's called, that, you know, if you were an angel, you could show up as a human, you could show up as a chameleon, you could show up as a tiger. I don't know. Do what you want. You're an angel. You're not bound by the laws of nature. So it seems the Ramban says these were malachim who showed up like humans. And then he quotes the Gemara, why each one had a job. And then he says, the Rambam tells us that it's a klal uprat. We learn this grandiose big klal about what malachim all throughout Tanakh. And then he applies it into all these different pratim, all these different cases where this happened. Yeah, Bilam's donkey didn't really see malachim. It was all a dream, right? What do you mean the donkey saw an angel and then, you know, walked him into a wall? What, you get Musa from a donkey? You know, Bilam was the greatest of Nevi'im outside of Moshe. Don't tell me this is all a dream, right? That's what the Rambam will say there, right? So the Ramban says it's a big idea that applies to many places. And he says, where's the start of attack? Right, he quotes the Ramban. And then he says, V'im ken ba chalom hazeh b'ro v'inyan ki chalomot ha-sheker ki matoel darot lo kozeh. Right, you're going to tell me this dream, it's all part of sheker, it's all, a lot of it's made up. Because what's the point of telling us all that? Why are we going to give you all the details? As you said before, the Ramban says, what's with all these details if it's all made up? That's useless to me. So he said maybe before. Maybe that's to teach us, right? Darkei Musar, Darkei Machshava, what we should and can be doing. And then he says, what? You want to tell me the story where Yaakov Avinu was fighting with Sarah Shel Esav? That was also made up? Vayavak, right? Vayavak Ishimo. He fought with a person. He didn't fight with a person. So the Ramban says, you want to tell me that when after that story, Yaakov Avinu wakes up in the morning and he's limping? What? That was like phantom vibrations. He was making it up. It was like psychological damage from this scary dream. He made up this limp. Like, what's going on here? This Torah tells us that Yaakov had a limp. He was, you know, from this battle. We're not making that up. Right, what are you going to tell me? That was all from, you know, that didn't really happen. And then he says, when you tell me that Moshe saw panim apanim, kivinim lo yifachdu v'shiyamutu mifnei marot nevuah, we have different cases than the Nevi'im where they say they were scared to have nevuah because they were afraid they were going to pass away. Well, what? You're having a dream. What are you going to pass away from? It's not, you're not seeing God. You're having a dream. It's a lower level nevuah. You know, things don't really make sense. And then he continues, and more questions. Okay. What about all these other cases where we see the Torah tells us that there was actual mar'en nevuah? Okay? And what do you mean? You're going to tell me that Lot himself was a Navi. The Malachim didn't, they came to his house. Lot didn't really make for the matzahs. They didn't really eat. It was all a dream. And then if you're going to tell me it's a dream, you're going to tell me that Lot himself was a Navi, that all Anshei Sdom were Nevi'im. No, they were Rishayim. They were Chotim. They were Poshim. They were such bad people. The entire HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to destroy their city. Right? So what? We're going to destroy this entire city of Nevi'im. No, we destroy cities like Sdom and Nineveh, right, and Migdal Bavel. We're destroying things that are really, really bad. We're not going to destroy a city full of Nevi'im. Halavai, we had cities full of Nevi'im. Okay, and then he continues with more questions. Okay. And then he continues and he says, everything's right. If everything was a dream, then how would Lot ever get out of Sdom? Right? None of this really happened. Lot should have died in Sdom. He would have woke up the next morning and been dead with everyone else. It happened in his dream. The city was destroyed. Zay gezunt, we move on. Right? No, these things really happened. Right? The Ramban says, if you want to hear Harif Rishonim arguing with each other, it's a lot of fun if you want to look throughout Rishonim, or like rabbinic literature, rabbis arguing with each other, have some really great insults. Rabbinic insults one to another are great. And the Ramban says, regarding the Rambam, Asur Lishomam, it is usur to listen to this idea. Afkila Mimber, even more so to believe it. Don't even, there's this Rambam, it's all dreams, this all, the Tanakh's all made up, don't listen to it, and if you believe it, you're crazy. That's no way. Ubehemet, kol makom shekar ketuv, ra'ita malach, o davar malach, o dibur malach umareh, o b'chalom, ki yirgash, okay? Right, he quotes the Rambam now from both the Mor Nevuchim and Yisurei Torah, he says, how could that be? We know from Daniel, Navi, right? No, Daniel was a good person, right? We see how great Daniel was from the beginning of Sefer Daniel, all of his Milo, Daniel Ish Chamudot, etc. All these, he was good looking, he was smart, he was intelligent, all these wonderful traits that he was taken to the palace to be, you know, part of this prodigy for the kingship. Okay? And the Torah tells us that Daniel had a nevuah, the Tanakh tells us. Okay? Ukvara Amara Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Megillah and Daf Gimel and Aleph, but Daniel Inu Adifei Minei Daniel. Okay, right. The Torah tells us that Daniel himself had nevuah. So how are you going to tell me that was all a dream? These are things that happened, right? Ani medaber b'tfilah v'ish Gavriel, right? That's the pasuk. V'chein hamaresh al ketz ha'geula. So when we saw the geula, so all these things. How can you tell me? And then he says, Barur Hush Gamkin Shaloya Anina Batkol Kimoshi Amar Arav. And then even if you're gonna tell me that it wasn't really a dream, they were awake, it really happened, but it was a batkol, like what the Rambam said regarding Lot and Manoach. So he's gonna say, don't tell me it was a batkol, these were real nevuas, these really happened, they were awake. These things were happening, it wasn't just a batkol, it wasn't just a dream. These are real stories. Don't downplay Tanakh. Don't try and censor Tanakh. That's not what we're doing. We want to understand Tanakh. The Rambam was very, very vicious against this. And that's something really the Rambam continues, just due to time, we're not going to really continue to go through some of his different ideas, and he brings many proofs, really trying to argue with this, lots of psukim and midrashim and Gemara is really just arguing through, you're going to tell me this story was fake, and you're going to tell me that this story was fake, you're going to tell me that this was a dream, etc. How can you do it? We have all these really great stories that are from Tanakh that are proving that this really happened. And don't tell me, "Vinyani stalku tavino tomi davar minoach." Okay. Vihine perush haparsha zot achrish amar ki beetzem ayom hazeh nimol Avram. Right. This whole parsha starting from when Avram's bris mila amar sheniray elav Hashem biyoto cholem b'milato yoshev umitkarer bevetach olam evnei chom ayom asher yachlishenu. V'izkir zeh lehodia shelo haya mitkaven lenevuah lo nofel al panav v'lo mitpalel v'af al pichein ba'ilav amar hazot. And the Ramban finishes off with this massive home run of a punch, taking it out. This story, when we're talking about a nevuah of Avram Avinu, when does it happen? Right after his bris milah. What's Avram doing when this story happens? He's sitting at the entrance to his tent on the third day after the bris milah. When he's in the most pain, he's uncomfortable, he's not feeling well. He just went through a really traumatic and uncomfortable experience, right? They didn't have like anesthesia or modern medicine. I don't want to imagine the pain Avram was in. It wasn't comfortable. And he was weak and he was just chilling by the entrance to his tent. Maybe he had a good book, right? He was relaxing and it was hot outside. He was schwitzing, he was uncomfortable. And why is the Ramban the Torah tells us that? Because Avram wasn't engaging in trying to bring on Nevuah, as we said, maybe there's ways to kind of engage in Nevuah, as the Rambam discusses elsewhere. He wasn't like davening or meditating or engaging in like really, you know, Kabbalistic texts or whatever else Avram was doing. Even if you say he's the one that wrote Sefer Ayetzirah, this isn't what he was doing. He was chilling because he was in pain. He was relaxing from the heat by the entrance to his tent. He was sitting in the, like, he was sitting on the couch by his front door. So don't tell me that he was, you know, it was all a dream and nevuah. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu showed up like that. He just showed up right now and then because Avram wasn't trying to summon this. Avram wasn't engaging in nevuah. He wasn't engaging in any crazy spiritual acts. He was in pain. He was sitting on the couch by his front door in the heat of the day just trying to catch some shade. Don't try and assume and tell us that, oh, he was, you know, this was all a nevuah, because Avram wasn't trying to bring upon nevuah, and that's why the Ramban, like Rashi, takes a very strong opinion. No, these are real malachim. What the last 10 or so minutes just wanted to discuss, two, I guess, other ideas here. One is that we weren't actually dealing with Malachim, but rather, to try and answer a lot of the questions, we're dealing with Nevi'im. It wasn't really Malachim that came, it wasn't really A, right? They weren't real angels. Humans can't see angels. We can't give food to angels. We can't wash their hands. We can't wash their feet. That's all kind of preposterous. That's made up. Don't tell me any of that. Rather, the Ibn Ezra says, no, They were prophets. These weren't malachim. They weren't angels. Right? It says anashim. Why? Because they were humans. They were other prophets. It makes perfect sense. It fits in. Yes, they ate food. Yes, they drank milk. Yes, they washed their hands. Yes, Avram ran to them and they stood still because they were human prophets. And then he continues. And then if you're going to tell me, well, Avram Avinu was a Navi. And we generally say that a Navi doesn't appear to another Navi that's greater than them. And clearly Avram Avinu was the greatest of Naviim. Right? Only when there's a greater Navi around you go to them. Right? The lesser Navi doesn't show up to give a prophecy to the greater Navi. That doesn't make sense. So what's the Ibn Ezra's answer to that? Well, they weren't coming to give prophecy to Avram. They were coming to give prophecy to Sarah. And Sarah was great, but she wasn't like the greatest prophet. So these three prophets were greater than Sarah. They came to tell Sarah, you're going to get pregnant in a year. So that's something that's for sure going to happen. That's legit. That's real. That's a reason why Nevi'im will come. They weren't visiting Avram. That's not a good question. But they were coming to visit Sarah, and Avram happened to be there. Right? And that's also how, right? Three strangers show up at your door. How do they know what your wife's name? I've never met you before. Ayeh Sarah Ishtecha. Where's Sarah, your wife? Who are these strangers? How do you know my wife's name? How do you know my kid's name? How do you know my driver's license, my social security? How do you know my birthday? You stalked me on Facebook before you showed up at my door? That's kind of weird. No, they were Nevi'im. They knew that he had a wife, Sarah. And they knew she was in the tent. They knew what was going on. That's why they asked. They were engaging in conversation, right? And then they went on to go to Sodom afterwards. And that's why the people in Sodom saw them. And yes, they really did eat Ibn Ezra said, because they were humans. Okay? And that's really why the Ibn Ezra takes this very, very strongly. And a similar idea can be found in the Ralbag, in his papers over here, in the Biur Milot. Right? Ura'ah shlosh anashim, heim hayu nevi'im. These were human prophets. Not, don't tell me this was all a dream. No, these are real humans. Don't tell me these are angels. These were prophets. It's kind of this middle ground of, they weren't angels, they were humans. But they also have kind of this superior knowledge to be able to engage in nevuah. Maybe that fits into part of the Vayera Elohim, right? That like he saw God. Right? There's an aspect of godliness to it, of nevuah to it, but it also keeps it real. It keeps it humane. It keeps it down to earth. And that's why the Ralbag then finishes, Ve'im nekru mifnei zeh malachim etzel Lot. This is why, when it comes to Lot, the positive, right? You could say, well, that works here because, excuse me, with Avram Avinu, it says Anashim. So if you want to say Anashim, they're Nevi'im, that works. But when they go to Lot's house, the Pasuk says explicitly Malachim. So how can you tell me, oh, at Avram Avinu, they were Malachim. They were Nevi'im, sorry. But when they came to Lot, just a few days walk down south, they all of a sudden turned into Malachim. What, they passed away, they went to Shemayim, they came back down as angels? That doesn't make sense. No, the Ralbag says, Nikrum if neze malachim etzalot ki navi nikrum malach kmo shezkaru b'sefer hagar hamitzri. The same thing is true. We see in numerous cases that the word navi and malach are interchangeable, and really the Rabag and Ibn Ezra take it as a idea of we are dealing with a navi. Yeah, you got a question?
Yeah. So if they were Nevi'im, they
for all we know, it's a great question. I don't have a great answer. My first thought is, well, we know that Avram was Megayir Tanashim and Sarai Girat Tanashim. So maybe these were students of Avram, and that's why Avram got up and ran towards them, because he knew them. I don't know. It's a good question. But that's maybe a thought, is maybe this was something that Avram knew. These were his former students. Or it could be, there were other Nevi'im in the world. Avram wasn't the only one. He was the first, or he was the greatest, right? There's tons of spiritual teachers and rabbis and, you know, people out there. But there's some who clearly are more knowledgeable and greater than others. That doesn't just mean that, you know, everyone else doesn't count, right? There's only one in Zeo. Yeah.
Isn't, like, a huge premise the fact that Avram is, like, the one that recognizes there's one God, though?
Yeah.
So, like...
Doesn't mean that... But these could, for all we know, these could have been students. For all we know, these could have been some of his students, right? That he had him from Haran. I have no idea who these people were. But it's saying they were prophets. They weren't malachim. They weren't angels. And it wasn't that this all just happened in a dream. It's trying to say, it's a middle ground. Yes, it happened. They ate the food. They washed their feet, right? This all really happened. They really were standing there. But they weren't angels. And we're going to say, oh, well, metaphysically, they ate the food, right? They took the food, but they couldn't eat it because they don't know how to eat. What's going on there? I don't know. The fourth opinion that I have here, and then we're going to sum up and end on two notes that are very interesting, is the Targum Onkelos tells us very simply V'shalach Yaakov Agazdin. Asgadin, sorry. Kadmuhu lot asu achotai la'ara. Right? Who knows what the word in Aramaic Asgadin are? Right? For all those of you who are spending your days learning Gemara, what's Asgadin?
Not nearly enough.
Okay? It means shaliach. It's a messenger. It's a person. And this uncle is quoted in other sources as well. Many other midrashim and rishonim quoted as well. And this too is brought down by the Bechor Shor, Rav Yosef Bechor Shor, in his commentary over here in Breishit. It says, Lufia pshat anashim mamish. These were normal, simple humans. They were physical human beings. These were not any crazy, you know, aliens or angels or you know, fiery, whatever, seraphs, and whatever other terms we use. These were normal human beings, just like you and I. Have you ever seen an angel that eats? Have you ever seen an angel that sleeps? Have you ever seen an angel that drinks? Ish kamo shelanu bebayit lot. Right? We see that they ate, they drank, they slept in lot house. It must be that we're dealing with normal people. Four ideas we've seen so far. First idea of the Rambam, of the Rakanti, of the Radak, of the Abarbanel. What the Abarbanel himself really holds, or is it just the defendant of the Rambam? We could leave that, that's a different discussion. That really, this entire story, as all stories with Malachim and Tanakh are dreams. It's a Mare Nevuah, it's a Chalom, it's a Chazon. This didn't really happen. It's not real. It's, you know, it's all part of a dream. It's Nevuah, it's prophecy, but this is not a true story. It never really happened. Opinion number two, Rashi and the Ramban. How could you say that? That goes against Pshuto Shel Mikra, literally across the entire Tanakh. You're literally just erasing perek after perek of stories in Tanakh. I'm saying, that didn't really happen. Really? No, that's not true. That can't be. No, these are Malachim Mamish. These are angels. These stories are legit. Yaakov Avinu wrestled with an angel. How cool is that? Yes, three angels showed up at Avram's house. Yes, two Malachim, two angels showed up at Lot's house. These really happened. Yes, 100% true. Third opinion, the opinion of the Ibn Ezra and the Ralbag. These are not angels, rather these are prophets. And the fourth opinion, the idea of Unculus and the Bechor Shor. These were normal people, just like you and I. Rav Dessler in Michtam Eliyahu in Chelek Aleph, he writes a fascinating idea. It's not so clear. I kind of copy and pasted the way, you know, I didn't have a, from a picture, I didn't have an online copy of it, to be honest. And Rav Dessler points out a fascinating idea. And he says, both the Rambam and the Ramban's opinion are both correct. They're both inherently true. And I believe we mentioned this in a previous shir. We mentioned Agav, the idea. We'll discuss it eventually when we discuss free will. Rav Dessler's opinion on free will. The idea of Nekudat HaBechira. Rav Dessler says, there's kind of a sliding scale and everyone has a free will point. There's things that for Shimon are a challenge, but for Reuven are really simple. Shimon struggles to get up in the morning to go to Minyan. For Reuven, getting up for Minyan is not a big deal. It's easy for him. For Shimon, he struggles with Hilchos Kashrus, right? The cheeseburger's calling him. So he wants that cheeseburger so badly. Whereas for Shimon, it's not even a discussion. Of course, he only buys Badat Eda Charedis. He doesn't ever, he wouldn't even eat Rabbanut Mahadran. That's like treif. Not even getting into, you know, what, you know, everyone has struggles at different levels. That's what the Rav Dessler's idea of Nekudat HaBechira and free will is. So Rav Dessler says the same thing here. The Rambam and the Ramban's discussion, they're both true. We're dealing with different people. For one person, there's a Ramban track. You're able to tap into the Malachim. You're able to see the Malachim actually. You can physically, emotionally, spiritually tap into the, you know, vibe, whatever it is that angels give off. You're able to converse with the Malachim and see them. For other people, they're just not there yet. That's not their strength. That's not their strong point. For them, the Nevuah is only through a dream. And so the Rav Dessler says, we kind of have a balance. We see both aspects are true, and it shifts per person. There's everything, there's emes here, there's emes there, there's emes everywhere, but it really shifts, it changes per person. So it's saying that there's, inherently he's saying the Rambam's wrong, but he's also saying the Rambam's right, but it's kind of a case-by-case basis. I don't know what the MS was for Avram Avinu as opposed to Yaakov. I don't have like a sliding scale. I have no way of telling you, well, who was a better Navi, Daniel or Yaakov? Who was a better Navi, you know, Bilam or Avram, right? As in, I don't necessarily have the Kalim to assess that, but Rav Dessler's kind of saying, you're right. the Rambam's not true across the board, but there, I'm sure there's cases where these nevuas, where these quote unquote mar'e malachim were really in a chazon, in a chalom, but there's truth across the board, and you know, they're both right, they both have cases where they hold water, but you know, it's kind of hard, you know, but they're both true. That's fair. Definitely macabre that, because you're going to say the Ramban's big question is, for the Rambam, you basically just flipped over half the Tanakh. But there were cases where there's Mar Nevuot in a dream. I can definitely hear why the Ramban would kind of agree with Rav Dessler here. But definitely true, the way Rav Micah Berger writes it in his article, actually, he wrote really nicely for the Rav Dessler. Rav Eliyahu Dessler's approach is a synthesis of these two. He writes that there is no objective reality. Each person is given the world that fits his level and what he needs to experience. Existence itself is perception. And he quotes the Ramchal, who says that prophecy is communication through metaphor. However, the metaphor is a perception of a higher reality. Therefore, it exists just as much as things we perceive through our regular senses. Okay? The last idea I want to point out is the Nazir. Is anyone here familiar with the Nazir, Rav David Cohen? He was one of the major Talmidim of Rav Kook. He, as his nickname points out, he was a Nazir. He had very long hair, didn't eat or drink, you know, wine, barely ever spoke. Fascinating character from like a, I guess, psychological and Torah standpoint, like how it kind of works out. Fascinating character. Really, really interesting person. That's definitely true. So the Nazir, as much of his Torah, as you could see, argue this is true a lot with Rav Kook as well, but much of the Nazir's Torah was contextualizing Sifrei Machshava and putting them in kind of their historical context and understanding what's going on, as we tried to do in our two Akdam Hashirim. And the Nazir says, what stands behind the whole debate between the Rambam and the Ramban? Right, where's the Rambam coming from? He's coming from the Muslim lands. And where's the Ramban coming from? He's the one who argued with Christianity, with Pablo Cristiano, right? Kitvei Ramban, Vikocha Ramban, that whole argument, the debates between the Ramban and Cristiano Pabliano, what's going on in the king's court, in the king's court, in Spain, etc. They're dealing with literally different worlds. And the way Rav Shirky, I couldn't find the original quote from the Nazir inside, Rav Shirky writes incredibly beautifully. The Ramban could not accept the Rambam's idea. Because if you take the Rambam's idea, the Ramban, his entire life, the Ramban was fighting with Christianity. And what's the Rambam saying? Avram Avinu, the father of Judaism, he had a dream, and these three different spirits came to talk to him and to tell him instead of God. And the Ramban, the way the Nazir explains it, is saying, we could read the entire Rambam's understanding of our Parsha as the founding of Christianity. Who are these three Malachim? It wasn't Raphael, it wasn't Gabriel. That was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why Rav Shirky says the Ramban argued so strongly against the Rambam, because I could take the Rambam's parish and take the Torah completely out of context. There were these three spiritual figures that came to Abraham in a dream, the founder of Judaism, and now it shifts. Where we went from Pasuk Aleph, Vayirai Elohim Be'elonim Amrei, God came to him, and then all of a sudden Pasuk Bet, Shlosha, Anashim, Nitzavim. Whoa, who are these three? We shifted from God to the big three. It was all a dream. And now, we just read the Rambam into the founding of Christianity. And that's why the Nazir explains, for the Rambam, we could never ever say that. And he explains that for the Rambam, this never would have ever grown up, right? The Rambam, Pa'abus Yavu Islamit, he was living in a Muslim culture. He never even, like, it didn't even cross his mind that someone could read his words as the Rambam just founded Christianity. And that's why he says, for the Rambam, he was dealing with a different battle. If you're familiar with medieval and ancient Islamic philosophy, the main thing they were arguing about, and we're definitely going to have a shir on this, is what was the machloket Rambam, Kuzari, Ramban, regarding the role of Shadim in the Torah? Are Shadim real? Are they not real? The Rambam was fighting a battle with Islamic scholars and philosophers about the role of Shadim, the role of demons and other spiritual beings. So he was coming and saying, no, there's no such thing as angels. There's no such thing as demons. And so the Rambam and Ramban were each fighting different cultural, philosophical battles. So the Rambam was arguing against these spiritual roles of angels and demons. So he's saying this was all a dream. The Ramban was like, How can you say that the biggest fight of our generation is Christianity? And now if you're going to tell me that Christianity is the big fight, you just took a nevuah from God and turned it into these three angels that appeared to you in a dream, and that could easily be read as the founding of Christianity. And that was a fascinating, when I first heard this idea of the Nazir, it kind of flips the entire debate in a totally different way that I never would have thought or anticipated of where we really get to a shift from. It's not a debate necessarily about the ikroni, the principle, the fundamentals of how we understand the Torah. We're taking things out of Pshuto Shel Mikra. We're not taking things out of Pshuto Shel Mikra. But the Nazir takes the entire debate and puts it in a sociological, philosophical context of what it was that they in their lives were fighting with and what was the discussion going on in their Batei Medrash, in their communities. And that really was the guiding light in their whole discussion. And that, to me, is really fascinating. And there was a little bit of a discussion about what's going on with Avram and the angels and all the stories throughout Tanakh. And hopefully we shed a little bit of light or confused you a little more as to Pshuto Shel Mikra, as to what's going on in this week's Parsha and in the Torah as a whole.